For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Hours after Governor Lamont shut down in-person K-12 classes statewide Tuesday, the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference officially shut down the spring high school sports season as well. CIAC Executive Director Glenn Lungarini joins us now. And Glenn, talk about the decision to shut down both the spring season and, of course, you shut down the winter sports season before that. Were the two decision-making processes significantly different?
At the time that we made the decision to close winter, we were the first organization really across the country, including professional and collegiate athletics, to shut down. But the information we had was very direct in terms of how quickly the virus was going to spread and that it was our responsibility to do everything we could to slow the spread of that. So to shut down was very apparent. In the spring, it's just the opposite. We don't know when this will subside. We don't know how it's going to impact school when we come back or through the summer. So taking our time and exhausting every possibility to give kids experiences was the direction that we chose for the spring.
As you said, you were one of the first, if not the first, in the country to do this. And I saw some of the abuse that was hurled at you. Do you think Twitter and TV cameras captured exactly the abuse that you got?
I mean, it was pretty accurate, but it wasn't anything that we didn't anticipate. One of the beautiful things about sports is it truly draws on people's emotions and people's passions. And although in hindsight, you know, people looking back and looking from the time we made the decision to 48 hours later with pretty much every sport organization in the country shut down, you know, but you never take pride in having to make a decision to end a kid's high school experience. So it's still a difficult decision to make. We appreciate and understand the emotion that goes with it, and we don't fault anybody for that. It was the right decision. And even though it was a hard decision and we knew we were going to get backlash for it, you stay steadfast in that because you knew it was the right thing to do.
So it wasn't hard for you personally?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard now. I mean, as much as we saw in the spring that the writing was on the wall, that eventually we were going to lose the spring. And we were the last state to cancel in the spring. You know, usually in sports, you don't want to go from first to last. But, you know, in this case, it was okay, I think, to do that. But even being the last state to cancel, it's still disappointing because you know that kids are losing out on experiences. And we do what we do because we love working with kids and providing them exceptional experiences, particularly through the venue of sports.
So through the way you've responded so far, I don't get the sense that you've taken a great deal of vindication from being proven right.
No, there's no pride in that. It's, again, we're look at everything that our kids have lost, particularly our seniors. You know, you can't be anything but empathetic for what our students across the country are going through right now, what our teachers are going through, trying to adjust how they're teaching kids and how they're learning. So, you know, you don't take pride in canceling or, you know, look at who's right or wrong. And through this scenario, you just look at how do we keep people safe and how do we keep kids motivated and engaged as we continue to move forward.
Have you gotten any apologies from any of those people who hung you in effigy and said horrible things about you?
We received a few. I'd say, you know, certainly not as many phone calls or apologies afterwards compared to the number of complaints that we received. But again, that's okay. We you know, we made a decision that we thought was in the best interest of our kids, and we stand behind that.
I read that the CIAC will now focus on establishing guidelines for summer contact and on reestablishing a sports season for the fall. Could you expound on those two points?
So we'll start having those conversations. Traditionally, we don't allow skill coaching contact out of season. So the only contact that coaches are allowed to have with their athletes outside of the defined season is for conditioning purposes. So we're going to have conversations about what contact in this, particularly this summer, may look like. You know, right now, we don't know what summer sports are going to be offered either. So we want to be able to look and give guidance of how that contact could take place. We want to think about what's in the best interest of kids and coaches. And then also looking forward to the fall, I think it's safe to assume that the start of your fall isn't going to be a traditional start to the school year. So we're going to have to be prepared with multiple scenarios. If we have a later start or if we have a condensed season, what that's going to look like. And then also planning way forward, thinking about the unknown of how anything left over from the from COVID-19 combined with the onset of a new flu season may present challenges and try to be prepared for that.
One more thing with regards to the decision you made in March. What reaction did you get from other leaders, administrators, people around the state or even the country who looked at what you did and said, boy, I'm glad that wasn't me having to be in that spot, but man, I respect the heck out of that guy for doing what he did? Or did you get the opposite of that?
No, we had great support within Connecticut of administrative leaders. I think our before we made that decision, we had conversations with superintendents. We had conversations with building principals. We were in touch with leadership the whole time. In terms of what other people were doing around the country, we stayed in close contact with them. Somebody was going to be first. That just happened, to be Connecticut. And it was shortly after, I think, we announced, I want to say we had a press conference around 11 or 11:30. And during that press conference is when the Ivy League announced that they were shutting down. And then the next day in the NBA, and then after that, that's when they were pulling, basketball teams off the floor at conference tournaments.
That's right. Do you remember, did anyone from any of these other leagues, conferences, did anyone contact you about the decision-making process you all went through?
We have a pretty tight-knit community across the country, particularly within this section of the U.S. So, I'm in weekly calls. I was before this and continue to be with New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire. So, we in this section of the country, we talk quite regularly, and that started even before we made that decision. I mean, you have to remember that the coronavirus and the onset of that was before we canceled our season. So when we were having championships like wrestling championships where there's very close contact, we were in discussions and looking at the safety end of it before even continuing with those a week before.
Last question, and that leads me into my last question. How can you ever have close contact sports in this environment? I know that's a question that you all are asking yourselves, and of course the rest of the sports loving public, the sports leagues, sports media, everybody's asking that question. How can it happen?
I don't think right now it can. I think as we progress through this and as we have better testing, more availability to testing, then I think the parameters around that will become more clear and we'll be able to get back to that. But right now, I think outside of those individual sports like golf, maybe tennis, for youth, I just don't think it is safe to be out there right now. Again, even if it's a low risk for kids, it's them carrying that back home to where adults and other people in the community can be infected. So, unfortunately, I think we're still, a couple months at best away from really getting back together in close contact with team sports.
Sports like football, wrestling, and soccer, are they in trouble?
I wouldn't say in trouble, but again, I think that we have to be prepared for maybe shortened seasons or, at least looking at the beginning of those, how we train and how we prepare for that. We're going to have to understand just getting back to school in general. And I think that's an important piece as well, just remembering that high school sports are education-based athletics, and we're an extension of school curriculums and connections to school communities. So before we even talk about sports, we have to understand what getting back to school looks like, and then that extends into sports. So how do we test kids? What does transportation look like? That's a challenge that I don't think a lot of people look at, but if you have a football team of 100 kids and you have to socially distance and you can only put, one kid to every three seats on a bus, How many buses are you going to need to take to a football game, and can you afford to do that? So there's a lot of things for us left to look at, but I am confident that we will be back. Connecticut will be playing again. Everybody else across the country will be playing again. We just have to be thoughtful in that process to ensure that we don't compound.
CIAC Executive Director Glenn Longarini, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.